Good morning, and grace and peace to you as we gather together virtually in the name of the living God to worship together. We know that God is with us in this space. Let us pray together this morning. Lord of wondrous light and power, we come to you this day to learn of your will for our lives. Heal our wounds, lift our spirits, and give us courage and confidence to boldly serve you in all that we do. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Welcome again to the virtual worship space that we have here at Parma Christian Church. We invite you to continue to worship with us today and for the rest of May virtually here on Facebook Live. There are a couple of reminders that I have for you about our service today. The first is that we will celebrate communion with one another, and I invite you to bring to the table, to your table, whatever you may have in your home, a piece of bread, a cracker, goldfish, juice, or water for a cup, and we will celebrate and remember Christ's Last Supper with us at the conclusion of our service today. We also do offer a reminder about offering. We do want you to remember that even though our building is not open, our ministries are still active and present in the community, and we invite you to participate in those through your generosity. You may give online through our Give Lifey donation button, which is on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Or you can mail in your donation to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Your generosity is greatly appreciated as it keeps our ministries alive and active here at Parma Christian Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. It is from Jesus' monologue to the disciples during their last meal together. He's offering them comfort, and as he knows he will soon face death and leave them, so he's giving them these words of comfort to hold on to when he is no longer physically present with them. Hear now these words from our Holy Scripture today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in our scripture reading today, Jesus has just told the disciples that he will be leaving them very soon. They must have had looks of deep sadness upon their faces, looks that revealed their sudden fear of being abandoned, looks that revealed their anxiety about the future. Jesus recognizes the look in their eyes, the expressions on their face, and he assures them of his continuing love and promises them that he will not leave them and orphan them. He has formed them into a community, and his absence could easily undo that community. He knows this. So he offers them some promises that he will continue to be with them. His presence with them will be different, though. But his continued presence with the disciples is important because it gives them the strength to carry on in the midst of the uncertain times that they are about to experience. And there are two ways that Jesus will continue to be present with them and with us. The first is through the Holy Spirit. The departure of Jesus could have spelled the end of the community of disciples he has assembled, but it does not undo that community because of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who has been given to them. In John's understanding, the presence of the Holy Spirit is nothing less than the continuing presence of Christ with them, uniting them and empowering them to continue in their ministry together. As Fred Craddock and Eugene Boring have observed, the new community of faith is a family of brothers and sisters born of water and the Spirit with God as their Father. And that is where we encounter the second way that Christ is present, in the community of faith. Believers are united together as the body of Christ. They are united not only by the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also by their obedience to Jesus' commandments, an obedience that gives proof of their shared love of Christ and that God revealed that love in him. But in truth, Jesus, in John's telling, does not give a long list of commandments to his disciples. In fact, he gives only one. Love one another as I have loved you. This love, says Jesus, will be the sign to the world that you are my disciples. Love is the ultimate Christian message. And it is the means of communicating that very message through love, not sentimentally, not through noble-sounding words, but through active love, embodied love, love that imitates the life of Jesus himself by welcoming strangers, associating with outcasts, healing the sick, offering grace to fellow sinners, and declaring the goodness of God. As Reinhold Niebuhr said, the church exists to increase love of God and neighbor. The church exists to increase love of God and neighbor. If we fail in love, we fail in all things. But to the extent we succeed in loving one another and the world, to that same extent, we are showing our love for Jesus, following in his way, and opening ourselves to the divine presence. The church is to be the community of love, mirroring God's love in its own love. I don't think that Jesus means to say that we receive the Holy Spirit as a reward for obedience, or that God's love is reserved only for those who first love God. Rather, it is more accurate to say that living according to love opens our eyes, opens our minds and our hearts to God's presence. We cannot receive a gift with clenched fists. So too, we cannot receive the Holy Spirit with closed hearts. Nor can we truly be a community of faith. But if we have open hands and open hearts, then we can keep Christ's commandments to love one another, and the Spirit will dwell within us. And we will be shaped into a community of love and faith where none are orphaned or alone, but all are held up by the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, who is with us. I read a news story this week that shows us what a true community of love looks like. And I'm going to begin with the happy ending. This past Thursday, a six-week-old baby was reunited with his mom and his family. This baby, Nisel, was born 5 weeks premature on April 1st. His mom had been diagnosed with COVID-19. And to save her life and the life of the baby, Nisel was born by C-section. And his mom, Zuli, was then in a coma while she was being treated for the virus. Now, when it came time for Nisel to leave the hospital, his mom was still in ICU, and his dad and his 7-year-old brother had just tested positive for the virus, while Nisel was negative. So he could not go home with his dad and his brother, and he could not remain in the hospital with his mother. And so the question became, where should this baby go? And you see, they have no other family in the United States because the family is originally from Guatemala and they are seeking asylum in the United States. And that is where the wonder and love of community comes into the story. When Zuli, Nisel's mom, was being admitted to the hospital, she called Luciana Lira, who teaches her 7-year-old son English as a second language. Zuli needed Luciana to help interpret what the doctors were telling her and her family about her illness and about her pregnancy. And then, realizing what was about to happen, she asked Luciana, someone she only knew as the teacher of her son, she asked her to take care of the baby once he was born, until she was better. Now, when Nisel came home with Luciana, her family immediately rallied around her, and so did the larger community of Stamford, Connecticut. Catalina Horick, who is the executive director of the Stamford nonprofit Building One Community, and the greater Stamford community came together to support both families with food donations, purchases of baby equipment and clothes, and offering other support. It was amazing the amount of love and support and community that came together surrounding both of these families in order for both to take care of this child and to have a time to heal. Now, as soon as Zuli was well enough to go home, and then once her husband and her 7-year-old son both tested negative for the virus, they were finally able to be reunited with their precious newborn. Hours after that final negative test, Zuli and her family went to Luciana's home to meet Nisel for the first time, and to bring him home to their newly sanitized and cleaned apartment. Now, the mom is still recovering, but she and her family are thrilled to have Nisel home with them. And Horick said that the story wouldn't have been a success without all of those who helped the families behind the scenes, including the staff at the hospital and the health department, and all of the volunteers who provided food and did shopping and helped bring supplies to the families. She said it was just a very inspiring and uplifting story. It really demonstrated the power of community. When I think about the story, I see the power of love and community woven through this from beginning to the happy ending. How many of us are ready and willing to open our hearts and our arms and our homes to bring home a newborn infant that isn't even ours? Luciana said she only knows this family because she taught the 7-year-old son. Yet in her hour of need, Zuli trusted her enough to ask her to care for her newborn son. That's the power of God working through the Holy Spirit to ensure that this newborn child and his family would not be abandoned in the hour of their need. Luciana stepped up to take care of this child, and the community stepped up to help care for both families. Love stepped up to make sure that everyone had what they needed to make it through this time of crisis. That is what we are called to do. That type of community is exactly what we are called to do and to be as followers of Jesus Christ, to love as Jesus loved, to be obedient to his command to love one another as we love ourselves. All of that is what it means to be a community where no one is orphaned, where no one is alone in their pain, their distress, their need, their fear. Because Jesus has not abandoned us. We do not abandon each other or anyone. And we seek, with the Spirit's help, to love as we have been loved. As God's children, we must embrace one another. And at this time, while we cannot embrace one another physically, we can still embrace one another in spirit and in truth and help each other through any way possible while still providing for that safe physical distance from each other. We are called to be a community of love and acceptance, a community of grace and forgiveness, a community of hope and compassion. We are called to obey Christ's commands and show the truth of our love for God through our love for one another. And as we do so, we remember that Jesus is with us and loves us no matter what. Amen.